All right, let's reopen the meeting. As I said, the first question that I've posed to the group is whether we should, we being the IASB, should do a project at all, and if so, whether we should do a narrow project of the kind that was certainly envisioned in the agenda consultation, or a broader project. As I look back over the responses to the agenda consultation, there was clearly a group that you might call the plantation group that consisted of plantation operators, Indonesia, Malaysia, places where that's a big deal, who were obviously in favor of and well informed about the narrow project. If I take that group out and look at the rest of the responses, they were roughly evenly divided between those who said do nothing and those who called for a fundamental post-issuance review, complete overhaul, whatever else of IAS 41. So the three choices that I put to you are do nothing, do the broad project, whatever that might be, or do the narrow project that was contemplated in the agenda consultation. But I've asked Nelson to open this discussion because he's the only guy here with the institutional memory. So, Nelson, over to you for a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Wayne. Without attempting to jump in answering immediately the questions, which are very appropriate that you ask it, let me first make a few comments. First, I'd like to commend our colleagues from Malaysia and Yahoo about a very good paper that he produced and distributed to us, very informative. Secondly, I'd like to state for the records that I'm not absolutely against any sort of revisiting the subject. I did participate in the old International Accounting Standards Committee when this project took life. And at that time, my recollection is that there was no big discussion about this separation between bearer and consumable assets, and no big issues were raised against BBA being eventually inappropriately treated as a measure under measurement attribute as under fair value. I think that experience taught us over these years that the subject eventually deserves being rediscussed. And even in Brazil, where I conducted a few discussions about this issue after it was put in our agenda for today with some companies, even in the CBA industry, eucalyptus for paper and pulp, in the first 2 years out of a 20-year growth period, they are absolutely unable to determine fair value adequately because that small plant can die. That small plant can grow up, that small plant cannot produce good wood, so it's absolutely undeterminable what's going to take or happen in the next 20 years with that seed recently planted. So there is some sympathy in trying to discuss this under BBA and, in certain cases, CBAs. Of course, the issues that were identified by our colleagues from Malaysia are quite appropriate. Cost at inception is not a proper representation of wealth. And during the preliminary years of growth, that may not adequately represent the wealth creation for the stockholders. Differently from property, plant, and equipment, where you are assembling certain large equipments like in the automotive industry. In a 1 year, 1 year and a half, you have the full equipment in functioning, and the cost really represents what you invested in full to get back some revenue from operation. But they both can be classified under long-lived assets, both the PPE and BBA. And the big discussion is which would be the relevant measurement attribute in this specific case. Just a small side remark, you did an interesting research with the analysts, and they expressed some disbelief in the relevance of fair value for BBA in that case. Perhaps one attempt that could be tried, if you did not do that, was to expand the consultation to analysts elsewhere. I understand you appraised their views in Singapore, in Indonesia, Malaysia. Perhaps analysts from other capital markets could be asked the same questions and expand their research, whether it's a general consensus among them that there is really no value relevance in the fair valuing of BBAs. What I really think that we should aim at is there are alternatives. You mentioned one, the business model alternative, which I'm not sure I quite understood it, but it gives you the clue that perhaps you are suggesting that alternatively we might live with an option to fair value BBA. If I read correctly your slide number 23. And that raises the question that I have in my mind. Shouldn't we eventually consider a little deviation from this alternative, which is giving BBA the same alternative, the same option that the board gave in investment property? Let the company opt if it believes that it can build up a robust and a relevant figure for fair value, and if that more properly represents the value creation in their stockholders' equity for investors and creditors, why forbid them to do that? I agree that inducing them or eventually requiring them to fair value when they do not feel comfortable that fair value is even determinable is to be criticized. But on the other hand, to treat that purely as PPA perhaps will impair some companies that are in a different business condition to more adequately represent what we all want financial statements to represent, a proper and fair, a true and fair view of the financial condition of the operation. So I would greatly support a discussion of providing that as an option, or eventually, another deviation could be, why don't we measure them under the value in use model, like we do in certain capitalized goodwill or other intangibles. Just to state the position that getting back to cost as an alternative to an inadequate or unreliable fair value may not be the best route. If fair valuing is unreliable, perhaps you can look within the ISB literature for alternatives to try to correct or to amend that that practice without necessarily forcing them to get back to what was considered back in 1999 an inadequate measurement as a cost basis. So just to kick off, Wayne.
Thank you, Nelson. I guess we're going to have to operate on show of hands as the best way here. So, and for purposes of the recording, would you just announce your name, too?
So yes, Domingo Marquese. I think it's necessary to do something because clearly we have a problem. We have a problem because the application is different in different places. Companies are showing that they have problems to obtain fair value, and probably we have been hearing or have been reading about a lot of misunderstanding of IFRS 13. I think it's needed to do something. I am proposing to separate the issues. One is the difficulty to find information. difficult to find information for long-term offset is inherent in the fair value models when you don't have a market where you can observe the value. This is not different to the rest of the issues. You have to fair value and a financial asset with 30 years in front, you have the same difficulties, or almost the same difficulties. So I think we have to clear something about the method to be applied, which is when the IFRS means the market view, which is the particular interpretation to do in this situation. I heard something about the usefulness of the information. I think we have to expand to other markets the analysis of this situation. And work with analyzing in your proposal the differences between PP&E and BBA. I think there are a lot of differences. You can read in Marker that a mature plantation has a substantially different value than the cost to obtain it. It's not the same as an industry in general. Nobody will pay you three times the amount to build in a machine. But a plantation obtained can be three times more expensive than the cost to reproduce it, because the risk of not obtaining the mature asset is very, very high. So proposal is to go forward with the analysis and to go to the third option is limited amendment to the IS 41.
Thank you. Others? Yes, please.
This is Abdulrahman from Saudiya. Another issue that comes to my mind after Nelson speaking, that we would like to have a link between standards with common characteristics. For example, IS 16, 38, 40, 41, and IFRS 9 also, IS 5, 36. We have the problem of recognition. We have problem of subsequent measurement. We have problem of transfer between groups. We have problem with disposition. If IFRS look for these problems in view of users' information needs, we may turn to simplicity of the standards. And for example, those kind of standards or those kind of regulate those kind of assets that held for more than one period. They are not intended for sale in the near future. So why we have different measurement attributes? When you come to the investment property, we have the option of fair value through profit and loss. But other standards allow investment in instrument to be accounted through other comprehensive income. So what's the difference between those kinds of assets? Same things can be said about some agriculture assets and property, plant, and equipment. I would like IFRS to see those common things, because we are not trying to have a value of the company through these standards, but we try to have a useful information for decision making. So if we have these links in these attributes, the first recognition, subsequent measurement, transfer, and disposition.
Essentially, what you're talking about, I think, is what we at the board call cross-cutting issues. That it would be nice if confronted with the same problem, we got the same answer. It would be nice if confronted with the same problem, we would get the same answer. I have almost 28 years in standard setting, and I have yet to ever see that happen. But because different issues, board members take different views, and as much as we wish that would happen, it frequently doesn't.
Different boards.
At different, not yet, just not to mention different generations of board. Please.
Thanks, Wayne. Kim Bromfield from South Africa. I'd actually, I think, start off with like to echo the comments that have been made around having some consistency, because I think at face value, one can certainly see the logic in treating the bearer biological assets as PPE in the sense that they're, you know, they're akin to a machine that makes things. But then the concern, I think, is, well, then do we not need to be completely consistent? And even when it then comes to the agricultural produce. Now, I know that's possibly, you know, the second step. So there's the biological asset, but then there's the agricultural produce. And should the accounting for that produce be any different to the inventory that a machine makes? So again, should we be recognizing agricultural produce at fair value at the point of harvest? Or is it the cost model like any other inventory? And so from some of the outreach that I did, some concerns are around, well, the timing of harvest could really therefore influence the results that a particular entity shows. And, you know, should one only be showing that value that's created at the point of sale? Now, again, going back to the consistency point, there's a lot of other examples of inventory which may require periods of time for maturation. Maybe you're making whiskey or something else, or champagne, there we go. and so yes, we don't recognize those at fair value. So I think in my mind that the consistency really is key to try and come up with some consistent proposals. What was really interesting, so to go back to the question about, you know, should we be doing anything, and if we should, what should we be doing? I've had mixed responses. And it probably is driven by the type of biological assets that a particular entity has. And maybe that's driven by, you know, the actual, you know, how long the growth season is, for example. So we've had some preparers saying, we want to go cost. We like the idea of cost. It takes away all the complexities of fair value. And so, yes, really very supportive of cost. And then we've got others, which perhaps as Nelson alluded to, who've been able to develop models, and they believe that they can come up with a robust basis of saying, well, we don't like this cost model because it's going to take away some of this value, you know, off the balance sheet. So certainly have had very mixed responses with regards to, you know, I say which approach, you know, is appropriate. But I say, yes, I think if we had a clean sheet of paper, I do think that, yes, as you're saying about cross-cutting issues, I think it would be useful to try and create some consistent principles, and be it, you know, for investment property, plants and equipment, etc., to come up with consistent approaches, because why do we have some things at fair value through OCI, some things are at fair value through profits or loss? You know, even if you take investment properties, I mean, some people could again argue that the building is almost like the machine that you're using to generate, you know, your income from your rent. So should it be at fair value through the income statement? So I think, you know, some of the roots of these issues stem from the fact that we don't really have consistent principles throughout. And then the other thing for me is, yes, you know, again, it looks like we can perhaps make a clean distinction from an accounting perspective between bearer biological assets and consumable biological assets. But then in discussing some issues with people that have pine tree forests, you know, they're going to cut the trees down for wood, they're saying, well, for them, you know, you grow these forests for 25, 30 years. Long period of time, also the complexities in those valuations, lots of risks in terms of disease and fire and et cetera. And so, again, they might be saying, well, you know, maybe they like the cost model as well because you take away all of those complexities. So should there be a distinction from an accounting perspective then between the bearer biological assets and the consumable biological assets? So I think there are quite a few issues, and so, you know, whether or not the best approach is to do a a narrow amendment, and hopefully in time there can be a more comprehensive change. But I certainly think that a whole lot of issues need to be considered. Thank you.
As a personal observation, Jim Leisenring, who some of you know, former FASB and IASB member, at one point developed a paper in which he illustrated 10 different approaches, all of which met somebody's idea of what the term historical cost meant, and produced 10 widely different answers under IAS 16. So it's not without peril to say it's just that we're all used to using the word on occasion. But I take your point. Point is, though, we don't have a clean sheet of paper. So I would ask you, what project would you like to do today?
Well, I probably would go with a narrow amendment as a starting point.
Good enough, good enough. Yes, please. And then Nelson.
Daniil Prokopovich from Russia. First of all, I would like to mention, as we see from the materials, that the work done by AOSSG was a huge work, and their question was elaborated throughoutly and very carefully. And we, of course, welcome the current amendment of introducing the notion of burying biological assets. And at that point, we consider this as necessary step, as necessary such a one-point amendments. But we still consider necessary to review comprehensively their current standard, their IAS 41, also taking in consideration their whole idea of IFRS requirements, that we have to consider not only the characteristic of assets, not only, but also business models, the intent of management, of the business model of gathering of future cash flows. So, and according to all another standards, we to all such cases, we choose the most appropriate accounting models in order to reflect the future cash flows, the amounts, the risks of future cash flows, the timing of future cash flows. And this, to my opinion, it should be the basis of, for further elaboration, for further amendments to this standard of for agriculture account, for agriculture activity. For example, for this bearing biological assets, we see difference between, for example, animals and plants, and we agree with the advocates for this point of view that really it is a, they have different nature, and many problems of implementing the whole approach, the universal approach, by trying the implementing the universal approach, the approach, we have difficulties just because these differences between animals and plants. For example, plants. We can consider plants as investments in investment property, as how said is improvements of lands as a sort of real estate, more closely to real estate there. Plants, and biological assets, animals. I think animals. I mean, they are more close to goods. Yes, you're right that in any time we can sell the cattle. In any time we and the cattle is livestock historically and even up today. If is in many culture is a measure of. Wealth is a major mean of accumulation of wealth, and it's more easier to measure the fair value of livestock, for example, than plantations than fields and gardens. That's my point of view. And by introducing this definition of bearer biological assets, we, to my point of view, we should divide it into plants and animals. To as just as my idea is, we can discuss it. Also, we have revealed many cases from Russian practice of application of IS 41. For example, in Russia we have short-term planting, short-term plant growing, I mean. And we produce wheat, other crops, rye, and very often we, potatoes for example, and very often what we have at the reporting date, we have just small sprouts of these plants, small, and it is difficult to calculate, for example, at a, the winter crops, where we are winter rye, winter wheats, winter weeds, and it's, normally it's very difficult to calculate the fair value of these small small plants. It's just maybe senseless to do this. For many companies, it just costs, it's just work in progress, and this during this cycle of short-term plant growing, the future cash flows will be generated just within few months, it clearly less than 12 months. So, and also our, we propose that for such kind of short-term plant growing, we have to make easier way of accounting, easy model to account it according to, for example, IS2, according as at cost as work in progress, for example, until the harvest. This is, and we also have some another points that we can, I can say the, during our fourth question, what our other amendments. So, but our points of view on the first question is, yes, we have to welcome the introducing the notion of bearing biological assets as a first step, but we still need through the total reconsideration of this standard. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Yes, well, first let me clearly state what my personal position is. Cost has a beauty and a curse. The beauty is that it is determinable, it's unquestionable, you can prove, there's no alternative, this is what it costed me. It's auditable. The curse is that it's useless. It's absolutely useless for decision-making purposes. We are producing financial statements for users to take economic decisions based on them. We abandoned, since the ISC started back in 1973 and before that in the United States accounting environment, the idea that balance sheets are pictures of the past. We are living under a world that believes that financial statements give you a prospective view of what future cash flows are expected to be. This is the management's and the auditor's best assumption of what my life is going to be in the future, given what I did in the past. With that prospective view of financial statements, we must provide a meaningful information for decision-making. If that's not exact, that's the risk of preparing financial statements for that purpose. We're not preparing financial statements just for paying taxes. What I earned last year versus the tax rate, that's what I owe the government, or the dividends from last year's profits. But we are trying to incentivize and motivate investors to say, look how good I went last year and how sound this management is. We are going to repeat next year what we did last year. Please buy our shares. Feel comfortable in lending us money. And this is why I am a strong supporter of fair valuing. As a matter of fact, if this can be taken out of the record in the future, I would fair value the whole balance sheet. I would fair value inventories. I would fair value property, plant, and equipment as well. But we are far away from that. I'll not see that in my present life. Let's try to look at it from a different standpoint. Difficulty of determining fair value is not a good answer to a poor practice if we are pursuing the objective of supplying relevant information for decision making. It's difficult. Of course it's difficult. We have tough decisions to take in life as accountants. Economists do have tough decisions to make when they're running the economics of governments in jurisdictions. Doctors have different difficult decisions to take. So hiding ourselves in the most comfortable slot of the spectrum of measurement attributes, we are going to be accused by future generations of not having done enough, not having researched enough, and not having dared enough. So I would favor Wayne, I would favor in your first question. We must make a choice between what's necessary or needed and what is achievable. I think a short amendment is achievable.
We will register you as undecided on the topic of fair value. Anyone else who hasn't had an opportunity yet to speak?
Thank you, Wen. Firstly, we like to thank our Malaysia colleagues to make good preparations for the agricultural accounting in the past nearly 3 years. They did a good job, and we also benefit a lot from the paper you wrote. Yeah, we think you raised four good questions. For this project, I'd like to answer the first two from our point of view. What project? We agree with the option three, that is a limited amendment. The reason is since we have to do something on IFRS 41, and as you just mentioned this morning, that the board decided to have it as a short-term project, we think currently it's very important for us to provide sufficient reason and provide appropriate solution, if possible, to the board to make our efforts on this project. And currently the most efficient and workable way is to is a limited amendment on IFRS 41. If we go to the second question, that's the scope of the scope and definition of for the limited amendment, because we don't want to see big changes to both IFRS 41 and IAS 16. Yeah, so that's our view.
Anyone else before I attempt to summarize our discussion? Let me then make a couple of observations and ask if anyone objects to them. Excuse me. The first is that, yes, there are cross-cutting issues. and it would be the best of all possible worlds if we resolve those consistently. And we should probably observe to the board that this project is another one that presents those. The second is that there is some sympathy for some kind of a reconsideration of IAS 41. I would tell you my personal view that I do not believe the IASB will accept that as a project. Period. There are too many other priorities that stand ahead of it in line. And my personal speculation is that it will be the next agenda consultation before we can even raise that as a possibility. So I will report that there is some sympathy among the group for a more fundamental reconsideration. But I will also give you my personal view on the microphone for anyone listening. I don't see that happening. I would then ask, I heard several people say that they supported the limited amendment, if it even is only a first step. Is there anyone at the table who would object, who thinks that the IASB should not do that project? Okay. The way I do this at the Interpretations Committee is I then turn a negative into a positive and say, well, then we support. Yes.
I think, in my view, an interpretation can be enough to solve the problem because, in my view, the concepts are, the basic concepts are clear, are difficult to apply in certain environment, but an interpretation can be enough.
You think the Interpretations Committee could do this?
Yeah.
Okay. I would have said no, they can't, because it's a fundamental amendment. It's not, you can't interpret fair value to mean anything other than fair value.
I think it's not necessary to interpret fair value. The issue is how to apply fair value in certain concepts. In the environment of bearer plants. This is the problem.
I find that strange, but I take your point. As a information bit, though, that I should have mentioned, at its last meeting, the Interpretations Committee had an issue on fair value of these assets raised by Malaysia. Some valuers had been taking the approach of valuing the land at its highest and best use, and as a consequence of the arithmetic, then producing a value of zero for the biological assets. The Interpretations Committee, to simplify it, said an asset with positive cash flows cannot have a fair value of zero. So if the particular approach you use to producing fair value of the biological assets gives you a zero result, you need to take a different approach. And I think solved that one. I think the Interpretations Committee can do that. But it's an interesting point. Yes.
I think ISB has a precedent of modification of a major amendment to a standard through annual improvement. If we consider IAS 16 in 2008, when a company has assets for rental and then sale in the ordinary course of business, it's a major amendment to IAS 16, IAS 7 through annual improvement. So it might be this route will be the easiest and most expedited one for this project.
Point taken. We do have the annual improvements process. In discussing this internally, I think we came to a couple of conclusions. The annual improvement cycle is a 2-year minimum, depending on when you get into the cycle, and we've just completed one. So that would put resolving this issue 2 years out if we tried to do it that way. we may be able to do it more efficiently as a standalone project. At least some of us hope that. The other side is whether it meets our criteria today for annual improvements. And I think we've reached the conclusion that it does not, because it is not a minor amendment. Now, the stuff we did in the past in annual improvements was bigger, but we don't have that ability anymore. So, okay, let's put a ribbon on this one. I will take back to the board the observations, but also the conclusion of the group that they generally support a limited amendment. Nelson?
For clarification, Wayne, are you eventually aware if any of the developed countries ever raised this issue?
There are some. Fair value is always challenging. It's especially challenging in forestry. And some of the Scandinavian countries have a small number, but fairly significant large forestry operations where they're attempting to fair value something they may not harvest for 25, 30 years. Not so much in Australia, New Zealand. They, in my impression, are more comfortable with IAS 41. The number of things that would qualify as bearer assets is probably a smaller proportion. Grapevines, orange trees, things like that. The United States and Canada, there isn't a lot of public company involvement that would raise this to a level. The structures are different. There tend to be cooperatives. So that's my impressions, at least.
The reason why I ask that is that I appreciate your you've been frank and admitting that this very difficultly this is going to be a priority for board eventually in the near future. But perhaps this is one of the reasons why this group was put together by 20 monitoring board trustees and to the board. I think that from the positive sign that you may interpret from there when you ask it if anybody was against, and nobody was against, is that this group believes that even being a subject eventually of interest to a small number of countries, they are very relevant problems to these countries. And these are countries that are relevant to the board and to the world. We're talking about Russia, China, South Africa, Brazil, Asia, and the others. So I think this, when you convey the results of this meeting to the board, please make sure you give proper emphasis to our interest in having this issue addressed.
Point well taken. To a degree, you are, as we say in America, preaching to the choir. But yes, Dato, and then let's move on to the next issue.
Mr. Chairman, just allow me to maybe just comment on some relevant parts. Firstly, thank you very much for the support. I would just like to reiterate that we really, really would value support for a limited amendment. Because, you know, number one, as I've said before, this thing, the biological asset issue is very varied, you know, affecting different countries depending on the industry and so on. But peculiar to the part of the world that we come from, it is a major industry and undertaken by big corporations that constitute the leading components of the stock exchange. You know, many top 10 on the stock exchange. So we really need to get this through because, you know, it is very important for us. You know, unlike other parts of the world where they are either by cooperatives or smaller companies, so the implication is less severe. So that's one. Secondly, to respond to some of the questions, there was a suggestion as to whether the field test response from analysts can be extended to other countries. In fact, we did that to analysts that were based in London that, you know, cover the oil palm and rubber industry, and the is included, you know, as part of the results. So really, it's more industry specific rather than, you know, geography specific. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. As I look at our agenda, it has a hole, has a couple of holes. Because it says we're supposed to end about now, but we don't start lunch for half an hour. So I put that we keep working. The second issue that I'd like us to discuss has to do with defining the scope. There was some comment earlier about how to define the scope, whether it was a business model approach. There were some who said they weren't absolutely convinced that a business model was the best way to go. One of the interesting things that struck me when I read the AOSSG paper is that you don't need to think about business model if you take their approach. Because a coconut palm has no alternative use. A cow does. It's steaks, milk, calves, leather, but a coconut palm has no alternative use. And that's kind of a neat way, because then you don't get into arguments. But then the Indian point was raised, which is, well, in India, a cow doesn't have alternative uses, because there's a religious prohibition. And as an international standard setter, we ought to at least recognize that. So the question in the second issue is how we define what it is we want to talk about. We're going to carve something out. How do we define it? And I'd open the floor to questions or observations. Yes.
But to address, well, I guess to address the Indian issue, isn't the solution simply to exclude livestock? And so therefore, the bearer biological assets is only relevant for plants and not for livestock.
I think their point was, knowing them and having talked to them a lot, they want livestock at cost. And so they would like to have an exception that extended the bearer biological asset to include livestock at cost. I think that would, I'm pretty certain that's their view.
I think the problem, the valuation problem, is just in plants. With the other, the livestock, for example, has a market in all these stages of development. So I think if we want to solve the problem, we have to focus only in plantations, long-term plantations especially.
Chairman.
Abdurrahman from Saudi. As we in the process of amendment, I support the Indian approach, because really the business model or the best of use or the predominant use, it will work. For example, in a business of dairy cattle, they usually have a divisions for dairy, for raising cattle for meat. So why not preclude them from use this approach? For a dairy cattle, usually they have a threshold. If the cow produce less than such and such liter of milk, they will be transferred for either for sale or for meat or whatever. So if we extended this one to any biological assets held for use, I think it's much better. And IFRS is very rich about the responsibility of management judgment to have the best reporting or best use of the measurement offered in the IFRS.
I would just like to share two observations. Number one, I think for livestock, if you treat them as burial biological asset. At the end of the day, there's a market value, you know, for it. So the net residual value is high, and hence, if you adopt the cost model and amortize, chances are you end up with nothing to amortize. So that's one observation.
IS-16, I think, is very rich. So you may use the revaluation model in IS-16 for this kind of assets that has a market value that you can evaluate, but not go through profit and loss, because you are not intending to sell these assets in the near future. So it might be more appropriate to use the revaluation model within IS-16.
True, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. There is a possibility. I think the second observation I would like to share is that the problem that we are having is not so much, you know, a difficulty in determining fair value, although that also give rise to a wide range of values, but it is a more fundamental issue. It's a conceptual problem. Because in the case of bearer biological asset, as I explained, you know, you take the palm tree, if you recognize fair value, at the early stage, you are bringing in, you know, the residual value of the future cash flow. So, a lot of the gain is being captured at the initial stage. But after a certain age, it goes into decline, and eventually when it's time to cut down, logically it should be zero, you know. So actually it's a zero sum game. So that is the real danger of it, which meaning that if you take that to income statement, in the earlier years, you know, your income is really inflated. And then subsequently, at some point, you know, the reverse, you know, happens. And it completely distorts the operating performance.
Yeah, I did, Dato. I thought I heard you arguing maybe a different point, though, in that even if you used historical cost for livestock, the residual value would likely be so high that you'd be recording depreciation of zero under IAS 16. So you might find yourself in a position of having assets with a residual value that exceeded cost. And that is at least troublesome for some. Rosita, did you want to come in on this or someone else?
Yes, I think I agree with the Malaysia view that there is a fundamental differences between the BBA on the plant and the animal. So I agree that it should be limited to the plant.
Yes, Wayne, I think it's a very difficult decision we must make in this group to try to guide you on what to report back to the board. From my initial statement, I'm not undecided, I'm over-decided, if that word exists in English, being such a supporter of fair valuing. But to the extent that we are trying to improve the quality of information we provide to users, and given the conceptual problems that Dato mentioned in the BBA, I would favor restricting the scope to plant to plantations, and I do respect our Indian colleagues' concern, but we must realize that they perhaps may fit within a different category if they do not have an alternative use. There might be way to exempt them from, rather than forcing to do something that does not reflect. You have other issues at the in the radar that the board will have to face someday in the future. You have Islamic accounting and Islamic finance. that has to be brought on board sometime. It is already as a general issue in the agenda consultation paper previously distributed. So you'll have other issues around the world that contemplate particular situations we must live with.
Yeah, I basically agree with the people. I basically agree with Malaysia. But I have one question. Due to my lack of knowledge of the business. For India, the cow, which is the livestock, is it a BBA or is it the CBA? It is BBA, right? Then some said that BBA should be only confined to plants, not animals. Does it make sense?
I think my personal experience comes from a cow-calf operation in Nebraska, which is different. But I would tell you that my father-in-law, who manages that operation, if I asked him what the historical cost of a calf was, he would laugh at me. And he would tell me I was an idiot. If I asked him what its fair value was, he would say that the minute it born alive, it has a fair value of this many dollars. And that's how he runs his business. And has been, that family's been running it for 150 years now. So that colors my judgment, because that's the environment I was exposed to. It does seem to me that plants and animals are different. You can't dig up a plant. Dato said it, you kill it. You can put a cow on a truck and move it someplace. Maybe that's a difference. Maybe it doesn't. Others who want to speak to this point?
For the scope of the IS 41, we, in our opinion, this standard should cover all the biological assets, including the BBA and the CBA and the livestock. We want, since the agricultural accounting standards is a comprehensive standards for the agriculture activity, we think it should cover all the biological assets. That's the first point. And the second is about the definition of the biological assets. We fully agree that we should have definition for the BBA and the CBA, but based on the AOSSG paper, we have some comments on the CBA, on the definition of CBA. The AOSSG paper said CBA are biological assets other than BBA. We think we can change the way to define the CBA. We can make it more clearly to show the CBAs to show the way that the CBA bring future economy benefits to the entity. Something like the BBA are biological assets held for the production of agriculture produce, provision of service or rental, but the CBA are biological assets held for sale or biological assets to be harvested as agriculture produce in future. We can make it more clear.
Just an observation of my colleague about the options. I believe the different situation need different treatment. For example, in investment property standards, you have the option of fair value and cost model. But if you are a lessee treating your leased property as investment property, you are required to use fair value in the same standards. So we may have something like that in the when we apply the requirement of IS 16 to the bare biological assets, we may require it if this for the plant, property, equipment, you have the options. But for the bearer, biological assets, you only have the option of revaluation within the standards, exactly the same manner as the investment property.
Daniel Prokopovich from Russia. First of all, I would attract attention to the question, what do we want to do? If we want to just solve one issue, so we have to applicate the new definition of buried biological assets only for plants. If we want to introduce this notion, if we want to introduce this model of accounting, then we have to spread it only also to animals. But I think that if we will do so, we will spread it to animals. So we should make different accounting treatment for animals and for plants. For example, plants, we can do the possibility to use to count it as property, plant and equipment, either with revelation, either without revelation. It's on the decision of the company, and and the same for buried biological assets, animals. So we also can use it on the decision of the company. So either to revaluate, either not to relate, and depreciate. For Russia, in our economy, we don't have big companies with buried biological assets, plants, but we have animals. We have milk cows, for example. We have pedigree cattle that are held for reproducing other animals. So, and when we are mature, these animals, we can account it as plant property, plant and equipment. But also, I will point your attention to our understanding, it's necessary to count not the characteristic of assets, but the use, the intent of use, the business model. And if some asset have dual purposes, we can it's normal for IFRS. For example, we can just change our judgments. We can have just our business model and transfer from buried biological assets to consumable biological assets upon we decided to consume it or upon we decided to sell it, for example. So if we held cow for milk, we just amortize them. And if we transfer it for sale, we can just use IFRS 5, for example, as long-term assets held for sale. It's easy. Very easy. So it could be the solution for the company. There is also a point that the idea of IS 41 is to measure and to reflect the biological transformation. So if we will still be consistent with this idea, so the unmature buried biological assets, both plants and animals that are undergoing the major biological transformation should be also valued at fair value. Because the fair value, as we decided, is the best value, best measure of biological transformation. But we also can use the mean that is already exist in IFRS account this difference in fair value as other comprehensive income because it is not realized. It is don't have relations to the performance of the year. So if the coconuts palms are growing, we can measure the growth, for example, but not maybe for of one tree, but of a plantation or field, and we can reflect the fair value. And upon this plantation become mature, upon it could be used as a buried biological asset, it should be measured on fair value and transferred to buried biological assets, accounted as property, plant, and equipment with the relation or without. But my propose that we have to count this difference in fair value as other comprehensive income, because it is not realized. But and so we meet the both aims. From one point of view, we reflect the biological transformation, the measure, the assets at fair value. That is the best measure for every asset. But and the another point of view, we just don't put it in the performance of this year, of current year, and we show it the possibility of other comprehensive income give us this measure to with mean to show it to, you know, investors, to other people who use our financial statements, and they can see how our capital gain was changed from this kind of investments. But we don't include it in the P&L statement, I think. And also, I want to say that we just have not to exclude it, the buried biological assets, either animals, either plants, from the scope of IAS 41, and we have to leave this within the scope of IAS 41, but we can just make a reference to IAS 16 as we did it in investment property. So to my point of view, it's better to describe all these things to make definitions within one industry standard and just make a reference to IAS 16 that the buried biological assets can be measured, can be counted as property, plant, and equipment as we did it in IAS 14. Thank you. That's my.
I wonder if I can ask a question because I'm a bit confused as to exactly what you're telling us. If the question is, how do I define bearer biological assets? Assuming they're going to have a different measurement somehow, because there's no reason to define them otherwise. I'm not sure exactly what you've told us, because at some points you seem to be saying plants and animals are different, which is the Malaysian AOSSG approach. And at other points, you seem to be saying, well, no, I want a predominant use or a business model. So which is it exactly that you favor to make that division?
I think the model is, and predominant use is more more priority in definition. If yeah.
I'm not arguing with you. I just want to make sure I understand what you're telling us. Jinkyo?
I just want to raise some points because the easier one we have resolved. It is very limited amendment to the accounting for BBA. So the next issue, I agree with that, should the scope and the definition, and they are relevant. So how we clearly defined BBA is very critical, because we are going to introduce the accounting model for the BBA, and it will make changes to the IAS 41. As currently we discuss the business model, I agree with the point, because we have different use for the BBA. But from my point of view, in order to avoid some
some more issues come out if we introduce a new notion of business model, how to clearly define the business model, how to explain and how to implement it clearly in the practice. So if we favor the I-16 model to account for BBA, my personal view is that we should clearly define the BBA. That means we can use the current definition of PPE, that kind of style. For the biological assets which are held for use, they should be BBA. Which are held for sale, they should be consumable biological assets. We will not introduce a new notion of business model, but we should clearly define the BBA and the CBA. So this is the first point I would like to mention. The second point that we, as Dato has mentioned, that actually we focus much on biological transformation. If they are no longer undergoing biological transformation, okay, they will be BBA. Otherwise, they will be CBA. My point of view that maybe it's not major point. For some BBAs, they're still growing. They're still changing for some BBAs. So I don't think we should major focus on the biological assets, biological transformation. We still focus on whether they're held for use or held for sale for those assets to clearly define BBA or the CBA. The third point, actually, we've raised that also we agree with our Daniel has raised that if we want to introduce the notion or the clearly defined BBA, if we just focus on the definition, actually, they include not only include the plantation but also the livestock. So, as Kim raised that, we need to consistent concept to underline the definition. If we look at the definition, they include the animals there, but if we go to details, they are not in the scope of the BBA. It will misunderstood by the practice, and it's very difficult to, you know, to have different classifications. So from all my personal view, I believe livestock should be included in BBA, and it should have same accounting treatment for both for plantations or as well as animals or livestock. So in order to avoid some practice, different practice for different biological assets, because they meet the definition of BBA, of this definition of the conceivable biological assets.
Yeah. Just a comment. Biological assets always have biological transformation. If you are not growing, you are getting old. But you are always changing. Yeah, you have to reflect it in the fair value.
I've had the benefit of working on this, you know, for quite a while. So perhaps, yeah, just to again share on some of the points that have been raised. As for scope, the key really is to get a handle on how to define the BBA. If you were to ask us, you know, whether it will fulfill our end objective of, you know, getting a limited amendment, splitting it along plant, livestock line or business model line, broadly on the surface of it, I would say either way, you know, it could work for us. But if you really go into detail, what we are trying to do is to get something that is logical and consistent, you know, rather than to make it too artificial. Okay? And I think, you know, going along the line of plant and animal, in a way, will be somewhat, you know, artificial. So the way the ASOC working group has drafted it is that, although it is not apparent, but it has actually taken into account business model in an indirect way. Perhaps what we should emphasize, you know, in the definition is that not only the part on being used for the generation of income, but we should really emphasize that it is not meant for sale. Actually, that part catches, you know, the business model part without actually saying so much. Because for livestock, in reality, I think, to me, frankly, if you're operating as a business, it is inconceivable that you allow your, you know, your livestock to just, you know, die off without any value. You can actually salvage it, you know, by selling it off, you know, to someone else and let them deal with what they want to do with it, right? So in that sense, if you emphasize, you know, in the definition that it is not, BBA is not intended for sale, so that actually kind of should indirectly address the business model, you know, method, really.
If you are in a business with livestock, you never know if you have it for use or for sale, because it depends on decisions at a point of view. For example, if the cow is not pregnant, you can sell it, but you don't know upfront what you the decision. You know that some of them will stay and some of them will go. So how can you use it, the decision of to separate those assets? They are the same asset. Some will be sold and someone not.
Yeah, but
this is the logic of the
business. But ultimately, those that you hold, you know, for milk or for reproduction, ultimately, what do you do with them? So that, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it is consumed in one way or other, right? You know, either you sell or you sell it off. So that part is unavoidable.
Yeah, well, I guess it was just maybe to ask the question from those who perhaps know a lot more about cattle farming, etc., whether or not, you know, do you have a certain type of cow for dairy as opposed to meat? And so if you're running a dairy farm, then, I mean, could you have a situation where, yes, almost now, whether or not this is a predominant use basis to say, well, these are dairy cows, and therefore we can treat them as bare biological assets, and you've got other cows which you really, you know, have got for slaughter, in which case they're going to be consumable. Yes, you might ultimately end up by slaughtering your dairy cows when, you know, they can no longer produce milk. Now, again, the comment was, do you then go the I4S5 route, you know, at that point? Or do you perhaps go the current route that we have in IS16, although it's not quite on point, where, you know, you're subsequently going to sell an item, sort of your leasing example, where you then change classification? So do you carry your dairy cows, therefore, as bare biological assets until the point where they're no longer producing, and can you reclassify them at that point to consumable biological assets and then have a change of model at that point? I don't know if that is workable or not.
That's precisely the way the owners and managers of that business look at it. They do have biological assets to produce milk or other cows other than those that have it for slaughtering and selling as meat to the world.
Speaking strictly as a connoisseur, you would never make steaks out of a milk cow. They're not suitable for it. They're not grown for it. It tastes bad. A milk cow, when it's finally slaughtered, is hamburger and leathers. Not the steaks that I've been eating here. Those aren't milk cows. I think what I'm hearing is two different competing theories here. And what I propose to report to the board is that both have support. One theory I would describe as a alternative, no alternative use theory, which is what I found in the AOSSG paper. So a coconut palm can't be anything but a bearer of biological assets, nor can an orange tree, because it has no alternative use. The competing theory I would describe as a predominant use. I hate the term business model, so I'm going to try and avoid that. And so you look at an asset and say, what is its predominant use in the business today? And that means it can be the same asset. If I've got, somebody said, if I've got 500 of them, which, how do I know which is which? I guess you'd say, well, 300 of one and 200 of the other. But based on its predominant use, you'd make that judgment. So that strikes me as the two basic competing theories. Are there any others that don't meet one of those two? Okay, that's what we will report back to the board and the staff then, was that both those had proponents. We well understand the various merits of them. And it is straight up 12 o'clock, so I propose that we adjourn for lunch.